Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series, and actually today I want to talk about the God of justice, the God of justice. Amen? Justice. He loves justice. And before we get into that, I want to just kind of do a recap of where we have been. We've been on a series called Justice, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And so, you know, most of us, we like, you know, if we watch a movie, we like to watch a movie where the hero wins. Amen. It's always inspiring and encouraging when the hero wins. We leave the movie being encouraged. Amen. Stirred up. Hallelujah. We like winning. Hallelujah. Where the victim has things set right and put right and made right in their life. Amen. It's always, you know, oh, we're cheering for them. And all of a sudden, everything is put right. It's like, oh, right. You know, we're the underdog. The underdog puts in the time and puts in the effort and puts in the work. And the underdog wins, victorious, triumphs. We're cheering the underdog on. Amen. The odds are against him. You know, the David versus Goliath, on the underdog. Amen. Always exciting. And so justice is another word for righteousness. We like justice. We like justice. And justice, the word righteousness, another word for righteousness is justice, or another word for justice is righteousness. They both come from the same Hebrew word. And so we see here, justice is another word for righteousness. We found that out. So I wanted to begin there. And so we began talking about righteousness. We began investigating righteousness. And what does that mean? And what does that mean to us? And so the word righteousness from the Hebrew and the Greek can also be translated this way: right standing, all right, rightness, innocent, right? Not guilty, innocent, means we're made right. We're not wrong. He made us right. Justice means the just, or righteousness means just, upright, lawful, to justify, justice. It means to it means prosperity. Like I said, so we can never separate prosperity from righteousness, or righteousness from prosperity, because it comes from the same word. In other words, in God's eyes, when God says righteousness, he includes prosperity, because that's what the Hebrew word includes. When he talks about prosperity, he's talking about right. Right. And then it goes on, what else? Righteousness. To clear self and to make right. That's what we're going to talk about today, is that word make right. I want to touch on that, to make right. But the word righteousness, also it means to be in his presence, we are clean in his eyes. Righteousness means to be clean in his eyes. In other words, we can stand in his presence, or we can come into his presence, a holy, almighty God. We can actually come into his presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed before. Why? That's what righteousness does. When we have sin, we, you know, think about him or come into his presence, all of a sudden we feel guilty and condemned. But because of righteousness, we can actually come into his presence. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. There's no fear. We can come into his presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed before. We know it has. And that's why we have the precious blood of Jesus. You know, we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which means we're made right again. We're clean again. Hallelujah. So we see in 2 Corinthians 5, and we saw this in verses 17 and 21, that we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. When we invited Jesus into our heart, when we got born again, we became new creatures in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And we have been made, verse 21, made the righteousness of God in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, how does that happen? It says we are justified, and the word justified is just another word for righteous. It's another word for righteous. We have been made righteous. How? By faith. We've been justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21 in the Amplified says that we have been reconciled to God, and the Amplified says that we have been restored to divine favor. Isn't that good news? Restored to divine favor. Hallelujah. In other words, what does that mean? God's not mad at us. He doesn't have a big stick, and he's not looking to figure out who he's going to swat next. He loves us. Hallelujah. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not our problem. Hallelujah. So he's restored us to divine favor because of Jesus. So we talked about religion. We talked about religion pushing us to act right without being made right. And that's the nastiness of religion. It'll pull out a standard and say, you're here and the standard is here. We want you to live here even though you've got nothing to live there. You've got no ability to live there. Just this is what religion does. Religion pushes us to act right without being made right. And we spent time talking about that. Because of Jesus, we spent some time in Romans chapter 7, he made a way for us to live empowered and free. We can't do it in ourselves. He did it for us. And so religion, again, pushes an outward expression. Put on an act. Just do right. Just do right. Do right. You know, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop it. Stop it. What, Bob Hope. Not Bob Hope. What was the show? The Bob Newhart Show. I mean, he had one of his comedic things was stop that, stop that. The woman said she came in and she was afraid of being thrown into a grave alive or something like that. And he said, stop it, stop it. I just keep having this thought. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. The whole 7 minutes or 8 minutes, it was just stop it. Sometimes in ourselves, we can't just stop it. And she got frustrated at him. And finally he finished and she said, stop it or I'll throw you in her grave. Bah! And she ran off. You know, so just stop it. Well, I mean, we need help. The Holy Ghost gives us help. Because of Jesus, he made a way for us to live empowered and free. But there's this outward expression that religion puts. Have this outward expression. Just act right, act good. Don't do that without an inward change. And that's why there's a lot of people that are frustrated because they're caught in religion. And then we can even talk about false religion. But there's even a whole lot of believers that are stuck in this same thing as they've got the power on the inside of. They're born again. But they don't understand how to tap into the grace, the power, the ability of God in their life. And we talked about that. We talked about how to come free because there's more to it than just being born again, made a new creature. The Bible says now from that point, we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. We need to change the way we think. And so there is this process. And we talked about that. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Jesus did for us what we could not do. By accepting him, he made us right and infused our spirit with his very own life. People can become so religiously minded that they become no earthly good. Oh, I've heard the phrase that people can become so spiritually minded. Well, that's not true. Spiritually minded people are most definitely earthly good. Jesus proved that. He would, I would say, would be the most spiritually minded person, and he was the most good to humanity. But I think that phrase might be more accurately said. It's the people that are so religiously minded that they actually become no earthly good. We've been made righteous. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So we're no longer trying to put on an outward expression without an inward change. When we got born again, there was an inward change. We were made the righteousness of God. And so then we can now act right. We're not just trying to act right. We have now been enabled and empowered and equipped to live and walk right. Righteousness is a standard, a heavenly standard, a God standard. And we're not trying to do that without an inward change. We have been made righteous, so now we can act right. And the Amplified says it this way, talking about the acting right, a correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. To walk righteously is to have a correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. That's what the Amplified Bible, how it translates that. So we have an inward change of heart that reveals itself in an outward expression. So see, it's not a matter of just act right and you'll be right. No, the fact of the matter is he made us right, so now we can act right. It's an expression of who we are. See, religion wants you to, you know, you're an orange, and religion wants you to be an apple. Just be an apple. Yeah. How does an orange be an apple? Well, just spray paint it red. Just spray paint the orange red. Now you're an apple. No, it just doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't work that way. Just by spraying and painting ourselves red does not make us an apple. But when God makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we may have been an orange. We're an old creature. We're an orange. When we were made a new creature in Christ Jesus, he made us an apple. He made us an apple. So now we can be an apple. We're not just an orange spray-painted red. Amen? We're not just a sinner trying to act like a saint. He made us the righteousness of God. We are saints. And so we can act like saints. And the reason saints act like sinners is because they make wrong choices. So we get to renew our minds. So an inward change of heart and a renewing of our mind with the Word of God reveals itself in an outward expression of right. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. What good news? Hallelujah. So it eliminates the frustration and it eliminates the struggle because we're not trying to do something that we're not. We're not trying to perform and act some way we're not. We're just beginning to develop and grow and manifest who we are. So let's go ahead today and talk about the God of justice. The God of justice. Let's go to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. The God of justice. The God of justice. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says this, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." Why? "Because it's time to seek the Lord, till or until he comes and rains righteousness on you." Hallelujah. So we're going to kind of, we're going to launch off from here. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. What does the word seek mean? The word seek means to follow. It means to worship. It means to inquire, and it means to require. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time that we recognize that we require him. We require him. We need him. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you every moment, every day, all the time. I need wisdom, I need help, I need strength, I need understanding. I need direction. Amen? We just need him. We need him. We require him. It's time to seek him. But more than that, it's not just the understanding that we need him, it's the action of inquiring, coming to him, going to him. Not just knowing I need help. I need help, I need help. You know? But coming to him, inquiring of him. But I like the word worship. To worship, to praise him, to spend time just loving on him, letting him know how big and wonderful and how good he is. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship him. It's time to seek him. It's time to seek him. But also means to follow. We need to follow him. So we need him, so we inquire of him, we get some direction from him, and now we need to do what? We need to follow him. Follow his direction. Follow him. Worship him, praise him, follow him. We need to follow him. Why? It's time to seek the Lord so that, or until he comes and rains righteousness on us. So the seeking does something. The seeking, if we can see here, the seeking opens the door. Seeking him opens a door. If we don't seek him, the door is closed. But as we begin to seek him, it opens a door. It's time to seek the Lord. Why? Until, or that Hebrew word can also be translated, so that. So that he can come and rain righteousness on us. What's the word come mean? What's the Hebrew word come can be translated this way. So what are other words for this word come? It means to abide, to bring, to call, to cause, to enter, to give, to grant, to put, to set, and to send. He says, I want you to seek the Lord so he can come and abide. He can come hang out. He can come live. Our seeking him opens the door so he can come in and get involved in our life. Our seeking him opens the door so he can come, he can abide, so he can enter. See, our seeking him opens the door for him to enter in to our lives so we can experience his help, his goodness. And he brings. He says, I want to come and I want to bring something. I want to come and I want to cause something to happen. He says, when I come, when you open this door and allow me to come and live and abide, I'm going to bring something with me. I'm going to cause something to happen. I'm going to give something. I'm going to grant something to you. And when I come, something will be granted to you. I want to come. I'm going to send something. What? Rain? A rain of righteousness. A rain of righteousness. He says, I want you to seek me so you can open this door so I can come and I can cause righteousness to come on you. And so again, what the word righteousness, I'm going to focus on these two words today, the word justice. He says, it's time to seek the Lord. Why? So I can come and bring justice in your life. There might be situations and circumstances in your life where you're not experiencing justice. The Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so there might be things in our lives where he is at work on our behalf, hindering, holding back, stealing, killing, destroying. There might be issues where we have the Word of God and say, Lord, this is what you promised, this is what you said. I believe you, and that's not what I'm experiencing right now. I believe you. I trust you. And yet, it's not happening right now. I'm not living in that. I'm not experiencing it. That's why I'm choosing to believe. I don't have it right now. I've laid hold of it by faith, but I'm not living in it right now. And so I need some justice. God said, listen, it's time to seek me so you can experience justice, so I can bring justice. And what does justice mean? Well, the word righteous, what did we talk about? The word make right. He says, listen, you seek me, it opens the door so I can come and I can make things right. But the word come also means to put and to set. And so I put those three together so he can put things right, set things right, and make things right. That's what justice is. Amen? Justice is God showing up, putting things right, setting things right, and making things right in our life. Amen? He wants to do it for everyone. But the issue is, are we going to open the door? So it's not that God is a respecter of persons. Well, God, you did it for them, but you didn't do it for me. No. He said, listen, everyone's got the same door, and everyone's got the same key, and everyone's got the same opportunity to open the door so I can come in and grant justice. So that's why I'm saying, listen. He says, listen, it's time for you to seek the Lord. It's time for us to seek the Lord. Why? So he can open the door. So we can open the door. So we can open the door and he can come in and set things right, put things right, and make things right. Amen? We all have the same opportunity. We all have the same opportunity. We open the door, he comes in. Hallelujah. Just keep the door open. Don't just open it a little bit and then slam it shut with fear. Don't open the door a little bit and then slam it again with, saying, well, that doesn't work. Oh, I tried that one day and it didn't work. Well, no, this is not a one-day thing. We just keep doing it. Keep the door open so God can come and he can bring and he can cause and he can grant justice. setting things right, putting things right, and making things right in our life. God is a God of justice. Justice is God putting things right, setting things right, and making things right. So let's go ahead. I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures. These are not all the scriptures. I just picked up a handful. And then we're going to throw in a couple stories in here that talk about it. But let's go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to dig into the word this morning. Bunch of scriptures. Proverbs 29, verse 26. And the last half of verse 26 says this. So verse 26. Proverbs 29, 26 says, "Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for mankind comes from the Lord." Justice for mankind. Justice in our lives comes from the Lord. Amen? Justice comes from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Deuteronomy 10, 17 to 19. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. What do we see in verse 18? He administers justice. Our God is the administrator of justice. He administrates. His administration is justice. You know, a doctor may administer a prescription. They may administer something. Well, God administers justice. It's what he gives. It's what he does for us. Amen? Deuteronomy 34. No, 32. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness, righteous and upright is he." His ways are justice. His ways are ways of justice. His ways are ways that set things right, put things right, and make things right. The ways of the devil is to put things wrong. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He messes everything up. When God shows up, things are made right. Amen? When God shows up, when Jesus shows up, you know, when an angel was sent, first thing he said was, "Fear not." Why? Because there's things about are going to be straightened out. So we're going to straighten things out. But it can't be straightened out if we have fear. So get rid of the fear, refuse the fear, and believe. That's what Jesus said to the Father. Is that Cornelius? Mark chapter 5. He said, "You come to my house. My daughter is about to die. Come to my house. Pray for her. She'll live and not die." The woman with issue of blood showed up and took up a whole bunch of time. And then someone came from the centurion's house and said, don't bother the master anymore. I mean, your daughter's dead. And Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." Why? Because I'm on my way. We're not there yet, but I'm on my way. And all you said was, all I had to do was lay hands on her. She'll live and not die. So whether she's dead or still partly alive, it really makes no difference. I'm going to come lay my hands on her. She's going to live and not die. So come back to life. Just believe what you said. Believe, fear not, only believe. Right? Fear not, only believe. So, God, he's our rock, his work is perfect, and his ways are justice. His ways are justice. Glory to God. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Whew. Psalm 33. Where are you? There you are. Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. For the word of God, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord loves justice. The Lord loves justice. Now, this is actually, there's probably half a dozen times in Scripture this phrase is used, and we're only going to look at it three times. But the Lord loves justice. Chapter 37, verse 28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. But what? The Lord loves justice. The Lord loves justice. Isn't that good news? He loves setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. He loves it. He loves it. In other words, we're not trying to twist his arm to get him to set things right in our life. We're not trying to go against his will and his plan. He loves justice. He just needs a door opened. Psalm 37, verse 4. 28, I mean. Psalm 37, 28. He loves justice. He loves setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. Amen? He just needs a door open. It's time to seek the Lord. So why? So we can open the door for him. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, Jesus is in the synagogue teaching one day on the Sabbath, the Shabbat. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit. Luke 13, verse 11. Who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no wise, there was just no way to raise herself up. She was stuck bent at a 90 degree. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on those days." He was not doing any healing on those days, but this was hypocrisy. "And not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered and said to him, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done for or by him. So what do we see here? We see here, so obviously, Jesus' justice was served in that service for this woman. She was stuck. You know, she literally was stuck. Says she couldn't. She couldn't raise herself up. She was stuck like this. And she came to church. And so obviously she must have been spending some time seeking the Lord. Seeking him. And this day, it was Justice Day. It was Justice Day. She didn't know it. She'd been seeking the Lord. She's seeking the Lord. She's just coming to the synagogue again, and just another Shabbat, and she's coming to the synagogue, but she's just seeking God, trusting God. Woo, thank you, Lord. Justice time. Justice time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And she shows up, and she sits down. So she's sitting in the service, sitting there, and she got herself to sit. You can sit normal. She can't stand normal. She's sitting, and Jesus said, "Come here." "Me?" Yeah. So she came to him. What did he say? He said, "Woman, You are loosed from your infirmity. And then he laid hands on her. The power of God, along with her faith, activated. And she was immediately made well. Justice. Things were set right. Things were put right. Things were made right. Why? Because God loves justice. Jesus loves justice. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that mean? It means there's justice for each and every one of us. Amen? He's the same. There is justice for each and every one of us. He loves to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. Let's go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. 89, 89, 89. Getting closer. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verses 13 to 16. Psalm 89, verses 13 to 16. It says, you are you have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Hallelujah. So they're spending time. We can talk about just this whole rejoicing and praising and worshiping God. That's seeking him. Seeking him. The door has been opened. And the Bible says here that in verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Hallelujah. It's the foundation. It's what it's founded on, righteousness and justice. What's right? And him setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 6. Psalm 103, verse 6. Psalm 103, verse 6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. This is his will. This is his desire. He wants to set things right, put things right, and make things right for those who are oppressed. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Psalm 103, verse 6. And that's what we saw with this woman with the infirmity. What did he do? Justice for the oppressed. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Healing is a demonstration of justice. That's just one of those ways, one of those demonstrations of justice, him setting things right, putting things right, making things right in our life. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. Says this, the works of his hand are verity. The word verity means absolute truth. The work of his hands are absolute truth and justice. All his precepts are sure or guaranteed. They stand fast forever and ever. His works are an absolute truth and justice. His works, the works of his hands, are justice. Justice. When he puts his hands to things, it creates and it causes justice, where things are set right, put right, and made right. Amen? The work of his hands are justice. When God puts his hand to something, it's to set things right, to put things right, to make things right. It's justice. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not to cause problems. It's not to cause problems. The devil does that. When the devil puts his hand to something, it causes problems. To steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, when I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living justice. I'm here to set things right, put things right, and make things right in your life. The work of his hands are justice. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8 says, he guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. He guards the path of justice God guards the path of justice. Why? So it does not get contaminated or corrupted. That's the problem. I remember reading this about the Templar Knights, is they were kind of, because of their integrity, they functioned and operated. They got to the place where they were allowed to function and operate above the law because of their integrity, because of their honesty. And so when someone from Israel wanted to travel somewhere, the Knights Templar, they would receive their money there, and then when they got to the next place, they would get their money. So if they were decided to travel somewhere, it was kind of like pre-banking. You could make a deposit here and then get your withdrawal here and not have to carry all your money and be robbed. You could get here and get your money. But the problem is when you function, when you have a group of people and or an organization that functions above the law, the wicked like to function there because then they can get away with wickedness. They can break the law and get away with it. So they kind of weasel their way in over the process of time. And that's what happened. So what do we see here? God says, listen, I guard the path of justice. Why? So it's never corrupted and it's never contaminated. So when God says something's right, it's right. It never becomes wrong. And when God says something is wrong, it just never becomes right. And we're filled with a culture and a world of the wicked rich. They're changing the rules right now. They're calling what's right wrong and what's wrong right. But we, as the body of Christ, are the hindering force. And so we're standing in their way. And we are going to continue to declare and decree what's right. And God is going to continue to work and function and operate through us in justice. To not only set things right and put things right and make things right for us, but we can also be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece to help bring justice to others. Setting things right, putting things right, and making things right for them. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the God of justice. Chapter 8, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. Proverbs 8, verse 20. Proverbs 8, verse 20 says this. 20. I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. The word traverse means to, it can also be translated as walk or lead. God says, listen, I walk in the paths or the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. If he's going to walk in the way of righteousness, and he's going to walk in the midst of the paths of justice, if he's leading that way, it's a clue that he wants us to follow. Amen? If he's leading, he's expecting someone to follow him. So it would be a good idea for us to follow him. We're to follow him where? In the paths or in the way of righteousness and in the paths of justice. God says, listen, he leads in the midst of the paths of justice. And so we ought to follow in this path of him, of what's right. Justice, setting things right, putting things right, making things right. So let's go ahead and go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now Daniel chapter 6... is a powerful chapter, and I'm going to read the whole thing. So just, you know, go ahead and just follow along with me. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three, and over these 120, three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no harm. And then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors, the other two, and above all the satraps, the other 120, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. And this didn't go so well with some of the others. So the governors, meaning the other two, And the satraps, now, whether it was 120 of them or just some of them, I mean, you can probably get, there's, you know, a few that'll instigate something and a bunch of others that'll just kind of follow along because they don't understand the motive. And so they sought to find a charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, for they could, but what's the problem? They could not. They could find no charge or fault because he was what? He was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. That's why he found favor with the king, because he was faithful and everything he did was just a high standard. He had an excellent spirit. In his job, he just functioned and operated way better than everyone else. His mistakes and they didn't have to double check his stuff. He was just honest. He was faithful. There was no error in what he did. And these men, they said, we cannot find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So the governors and satraps thronged the king. It's not like one or two of them just showed up. No, there was a number of them. There was a crowd that showed up and thronged the king and said thus to the king, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and the advisors, and have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius just signed the written decree. He was just kind of pressured into it. Why? Because there's this crowd and, you know, all these advisors that he kind of put in place to be leaders and influencers. They all said, this is what we came up with. So obviously there must be a problem. So we'll just kind of, okay, not a problem. He did it. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as it was his custom since early days. Then these men, not all of them, you know, it's the real nitty-picky ones, the ones that were kind of instigated the whole thing. They showed up, they assembled, they gathered together, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication. You know, they're hiding behind the tree, or they kind of snuck around. It's just so petty. They heard him praying and making supplication to his God. And they went before the king, and they spoke concerning the king, saying, no, Lord, king, have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within the next 30 days, except you, O king, should be cast into the den of lions? And he said, yeah, the thing is true concerning the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And they said, well, Daniel, who is one of the captives. This was their problem. They were jealous of him. He's not one of us. And he keeps being promoted above all of us. He makes us look bad. And the standard of excellence is up here, and our standard of excellence is down here, and he just keeps looking at us, making us look bad. And he's not even one of us. Who does he think he is? So just this jealousy, They're not being able to get away with whatever they want to get away with. This Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. I mean, he's just kicking himself in the butt. Oh, man. I thought, should know better. Should know better. He was displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He worked. He's trying to study. Is there any loophole? Is there any way we can get out of this? And the guys finally showed up again when it was dark. And they approached the king and they said, now, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which a king establishes may be changed or altered. You have to do it. And so the king gave commandment, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke a saying to Daniel. Now, whether the king came up with this, or whether Daniel encouraged the king and told him this, and he's just repeating it back, but the king said this: "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, no one could cause him to escape or to help him out. Nothing could be changed. Verse 18, now the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought to him, and his sleep went from him. And the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out, yelled with a loud voice, lamenting voice to Daniel. And he said, the king said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" And this voice from the lion's den came out and echoed and said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they could not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that he should be taken. Daniel should be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury wherever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them all, and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. And King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, whom has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the realm of Darius and in the realm of Cyrus, the Persian. What do we see here? Daniel continued to seek the Lord. He kept the door open so God could come and rain righteousness. God showed up, sent an angel, kept the hungry, ferocious lions' mouths shut and their claws away from Daniel. He set things right, he put things right, and he made things right. And then those wicked men and their families reaped the harvest of the seed they sowed. God loves justice. Amen? He loves justice. He loves setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7 says, "For the increase of your kingdom, for the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end." This is our Christmas scripture. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From this time forward, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." God orders and establishes his kingdom with judgment and justice. The word order means to set up. The word establish means to support or uphold. And the word judgment is the Hebrew word that means divine law. And so we can see this, that God has set up his kingdom with divine law. And he establishes or supports and upholds his divine law with justice, with what's right. He sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. So his kingdom is a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of justice. Chapter 28, Isaiah 28, verse 17 says this, Isaiah 28, 17 says this, "Also I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hidden places. God says, listen, I'm making justice. Justice, whoo, justice. Justice is a measuring line. God has established justice as the measuring line. Everything is measured according to that. Right and wrong is based on what God says. This is the measuring line. It's the plumb line. If you want to know what's square, if you want to know what's right, if you want to know, God has established what's right, what's square, the plumb line, the measuring line. Hallelujah. Isaiah 51, verse 3 and 5. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Isaiah 51. Verses 3 and 5. 3 to 5. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving in the voice of song or instrument of praise. Listen to me, the Lord, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a divine law will go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light to the peoples. My rightness and justice are near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arm shall rule the people. The islands shall wait for and expect me, and on my arm shall they trust and wait with hope. He says in verse 4, he says, I will establish justice for a light to the people. His justice is a light. His justice shines and demonstrates who he is. It's a light that draw and the goodness of God leads people to repentance. His justice draws or leads people to him. Amen? Does that make sense? It's who he is. His kingdom is a kingdom of justice. And his justice is a light. It's a light. It's to draw. It's to get people's attention. His justice. Chapter 61, verse 8, once again says, just because of time, I'm going to just quote it. I, the Lord, love justice. Isaiah 61, verse 8. Then if we go to Matthew chapter 12, and verses 18, Matthew 12. 18, this is prophecy, this is reading from Isaiah being quoted. To fulfill which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the nations. And he will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break in a smoking flax. He will not quench or put out till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, the nations or the Gentiles or the nations will trust. The Bible says here, Jesus will declare justice to the nations. And justice results in victory. Right? Setting things right, putting things right, making things right. We're talking about victory. We're talking about victory. Let's close with Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we'll pick up here next week. But Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8 says, then he spoke a parable unto them, saying that men ought always to pray, that we ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart, give up, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard mankind, people. But there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. I want you to make it right. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, and lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And what were those four words that the unjust judge said? I will avenge her. I will avenge her. Those four words we need to have in our heart. Jesus said, listen to what he said. I will avenge her. And he said, why? Verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus said this. Pay attention to those four words. What did the unjust judge say? He said, I will avenge her. And our God will avenge us. It's called justice. He'll set things right, put things right, make things right. And God will avenge his elect who cry out. And again, the word cry is not beg. It's not whine. It's not complain. No, this is the word cry is the Greek word that means to shout. What kind of a shout of it? It's a shout of faith and praise. How do we know it's a shout of faith and praise? Because the next verse, Jesus said, listen, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? In other words, this is the kind of shout that he's looking for, the shout of faith and praise. Because that's the shout, the shout of faith and praise is what opens the door. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to worship him. It's time to shout the shout of faith and praise continually. Lord, this is what you said. I believe what you said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you said. I believe it. The shout of faith and praise. Why? Because we're excited. We're praising and thanking God for what he said. His great and precious promises. This is what you said. This is what I expect in my life. My situation might not look this way, but you said it's going to change. So I rejoice and I praise him because he's a God of justice. He loves justice. He wants to set things right, put things right, and make things right. So we need to do what? It's time to seek the Lord so we can open the door so he can come in and rain righteousness on us. Set things right, put things right, and make things right. And we'll talk about more how that happens. There's an introduction here. We're coming back here to pull from here and take off. How can we have that happen in our life? We spent time today finding out that it's his will, it's his plan, this is who he is. He's a God of justice. He loves justice. Kingdom is founded on justice. He wants to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. He's not our problem. So let's deal with the person in our mirror so we can open the door so he can do what he wants in our life. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning.